I think some years ago we actually advertised this Saturday afternoon. That was the last time we ever did that. We've got so many people coming in. People really like to learn how to meditate. It's got amazing results, which you can see on the TV, on the radio, on the newspapers, on the internet. It really works. It makes people nice and peaceful inside. And when you know what peace of mind is, there's nothing more enjoyable than sitting down perfectly content and happy, not wanting anything in the world. Just pure contentment is the highest of the happinesses. And not only does it give you happiness, it also means that you can really relax. A lot of your health problems disappear. Your broken arms or wrists, they vanish. You walk away with here, a miracle, hallelujah. That's not quite like that. You're in the wrong church if you want to do things like that. But at least it helps the healing and you do actually get much, much more peaceful, much more happy. And it also, the most important thing, it also gives you a sense of emotional stability. Life can be very demanding at times. And if you don't know how to rest, eventually you get worn out. And unfortunately, when you get worn out and tired, stressed, it means you usually take it out on your friends and loved ones. And unfortunately, that causes a lot of suffering in the world. So just giving yourself a moment of peace is a great benefit for yourself and all others who have to put up with you, I keep on saying. So to be able to meditate, we have to learn how to settle down and to relax. It is relaxation, but a very deeper way of relaxation than in other spheres of life. And so first of all, we have to learn how to relax our body. And I'm amazed at how many people just don't know how to relax their body. They're always tense inside. And there's lots of knots and places in your body which is being pulled and stretched unnecessarily. And so when we start meditating, we start by getting some awareness. We call it mindfulness. It's a buzzword in modern psychology and even medicine. Last year I gave a lecture in Toronto University, part of the course on Buddhism, medicine and psychology, because this is really cutting edge stuff, learning to put mindfulness into life, into all areas such as medicine and psychology. But just being mindful is not enough. You're aware of your body and then do something about it to relax it and bring it to a greater sense of peace and relaxation. And the buzzword has been changed from mindfulness to kindfulness. In other words, adding a bit of kindness, you know, to what you're looking at. And I'm sure each one of you have had experiences, especially when you are small, when you were sick, when you were hurting, when you were in great pain, and some person came up to you and they were just really, really kind to you. Maybe a mother, you know, giving you a kiss when you were in trouble. Maybe just another loved one who just stroked your hair when you were in a bit of agony. And just that tiny bit of kindness eased the pain. If it didn't ease the pain, it may have just taken it totally away. It's happened to me many times. The power of kindness is marvelous because it does relax the mind, which then relaxes the body. And when the body is relaxed, it can heal itself. So when we start the meditation, we start with this mindfulness on your body, just to be aware of how you're sitting and just how you're feeling. Go into the most prominent feeling in the body, which is the one which is usually the most tense, and just learning how to relax it. Sometimes when we ask a person to relax, they just try and relax the whole body all in one go, instead of just part by part. So you relax the part of your body, which is tight, which is tense, which is squashed, which is aching, which is painful. Be aware, be kind. The awareness gives you feedback. The kindness does the job of actually relaxing, giving you more state of ease. And just with that little process, you're mindful, you're kind, you're mindful of the change, you're more kind to that area. It changes to even greater states of relaxation. You're more kind to it. You can relax your body so deeply with mindfulness and kindness. Not only does that, you know, feel good, having a body which is really, really relaxed. And I've read in papers and I've seen on these shops, you can go to all these very, very expensive spas, you know, which, you know, to relax your body. You can relax your body here. You know, much more easy, much faster, and most importantly, much cheaper than what you spend in a spa. Because you're doing it by yourself and you can take this technique home. being aware of your body, relaxing it, opening it up, lessening any tightness or tensions in your body. And so after a few minutes, your body feels so nice, so relaxed. That's a great health benefit, but we're not just using this for the health of our body, because once you've relaxed your body, the next thing is to learn how to relax your mind. And to relax your mind, you do exactly the same technique. You're aware of what's going on in your mind, and you stop forcing it, stop trying to control it, stop stretching it, squashing it, pulling it. All this force which we use on our poor mind, which basically makes it tired and stressed out. So we learn how to be aware of our mind and be kind to it. In the same way we relax our body, our mind becomes more peaceful. And you'll find the more you relax your mind, the more happy it is, the less you need to think. A lot of people have the idea that the biggest problem in meditation is thinking. Think, 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 plan, 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 remember, 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 fantasize, fantasize, fantasize. But instead of trying to control that, you ask yourself, why? Where does all that thinking come from? And all thinking comes from discontent, not really being happy here. So these are our escape mechanisms. Escape into making ourselves busy with the future, with the past. Well, if that doesn't work, with fantasies, dreams. All because we're not happy to be here. So little by little, when we relax, just like the body becomes more peaceful and more easy to stay with, more delightful to be there in your body as it relaxes, the same happens with your mind. It becomes relaxed. It becomes easy. You don't need to run away from the mind. The mind becomes a very pleasant place to be with. You don't need to go thinking and planning, because you're happy to be here. As I wrote in my new book, that all the places I travel to in the world, last week I was in Penang, you guys had holiday. I never have a holiday. My saying is no peace for the wicked. I'm always working, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day, weekends, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, oh my goodness. But I enjoy it, so it's not really work. So, that's why I don't get paid, because it's not really work. And so, when you are traveling from place to place, I say, I've often seen human goings, but I've never seen or rarely see human beings. People are always going somewhere, they're never being here. So when you relax your mind, you return to your state of becoming a human being again, just being here, not going anywhere, not trying to get something, not trying to get rid of things, just being here. So see if you can become a human being again, instead of a human going. Which means that we just relax and the mind sort of stops going places and trying to achieve things and making things happen. All that starts to disappear. We relax in our mental world. And as we relax in our mental world, just so you know what's going on, the first two things which we notice should disappear is all the past and all the future. These places of business, it's like you have two jobs in life. Bad enough having one job. Imagine having two jobs and you have to work double jobs. One is managing your past and the other one is planning for your future. And both of them take so much energy from your brain. Especially, you know, the planning for the future. Are you really planned out what you're going to do next when you leave here? What you're going to do on Sunday? Planned out your life? Where you're going to go to? Who you're going to visit? It's all planned out. Please. Tear up all those plans, because plans, they don't work. Plans are the prisons of your mind. They just captivate you into seeing one thing. Instead, just learn how to be a bit more adaptable to the future. If you're going to plan maybe 5 minutes or half an hour, and the rest, let it evolve. And anyway, you think, I can't do that. If I don't plan things, it will all go wrong. And it's true, I agree with you. If you don't do planning things, it goes wrong. But I also know if you do plan things, it goes wrong anyway. So the best thing to do is not plan and enjoy it before it goes wrong. Because whatever you do is going to go wrong. But more than that, it actually doesn't go wrong when you don't plan. And the reason is because if you keep your attention in this moment, and you're kind to this moment, be aware, be kind of this moment, and that is the best you can do for your future. Because now is the place your future is being made. Right now, you're creating your future. This moment is the only place where you can do anything about your future. Right now. So what's the best thing to do about your future? Right now, be here and be kind. Be peaceful. Be still. Relax. And if you do that, you'll have energy. You'll have clarity. You'll have the wisdom created right now to deal with whatever happens in the future. This is how you prepare for your future. Just like that old story when I was doing examinations, I tell this often when I go to schools, doing examinations at university. Instead of worrying about the exam I just did, it's absolutely stupid. Why is it that people have just finished an exam and they worry about it? It's done, it's finished, you can't do anything about it. Good or bad, fail or pass, it's done. It's your past, you can't do anything about it, for goodness sake. So let the past go. And don't ever imagine you can learn about the past. You learn from the present far more than you'll ever learn from the past. So just doing an examination, let go of the past. And the next thing, worrying about the future, what's going to happen? You need to have all your energy and clarity to perform and pass the trials of the future. You just waste so much energy now by worrying about it, by thinking about the future. So you can imagine, just being here is the best you can possibly do for your future. So this is what we do. I say that because I've got to do a marketing campaign to convince you that thinking about the past and planning the future is not a useful thing to do during meditation. So don't do it during meditation. Don't ever imagine you're going to solve some problems and get some answers that way. Stop it. Be still in this moment. Just be here. After, when you first come into the present moment, as I say, it's not that comfortable. But the longer you stay here with kindness, the more comfortable the present moment becomes. At first you don't feel at ease there. But after a little while, you become more at ease in this present moment. It becomes a natural, comfortable place to be, and you can relax into this present moment. And there's no better place to relax than right here in this present moment right now. And when you relax in this present moment, because you're not doing so much work, thinking, planning, remembering, you're actually really having a rest, which means your stress starts to disappear. All of that work you do for your poor brain is stopped for a while. The brain starts to relax, re-energize. You become clear, and you become happy again, peaceful. See little kids. They can play around, they can be happy. Do they really worry about the future? Do they really think too much about the past? It's one of the reasons why the kids are happy. They're in the present moment. So you try and be the same. Be in this moment. And then afterwards I'll introduce you to the breathing, just to keep you in the present moment, just to focus on one thing, rather than allowing the mind to go to many things. Little by little you're relaxing the mind. And don't worry, I'll be leading you all the way through this meditation. So for those of you who are coming here for the very, very first time, you should be next door, but I think next door is full anyway, so you might as well stay here. So for those of you who are worried about how to meditate, don't worry, I will lead you all the way through on this beautiful journey of the peace, the joy, and the happiness of being here. Okay, so first of all, if you'd like to get yourselves comfortable in your position, move around, scratch whatever you want to scratch, as long as it belongs to you. Don't scratch something that belongs to the person sitting next to you. You'll get sued for that. And once you are comfortable, you can close your eyes.
Here we go.
And with your eyes closed, bring your mindfulness, your awareness to your own body. Closing the eyes gives more chance to be attentive to things other than sight. You've literally got more space in your brain for feeling. With the eyes closed, be aware of the most prominent feeling in your body, the one which stands out above all others. That's usually an ache or a pain somewhere, or an irritation. Please focus on that. That's called being mindful. Feel it. And then send it kindness. You can imagine it's like a mother or someone who's really kind to you, just smiling at you. It might be a dog licking you, or a cat curling up in your lap. Give that same kindness to that part of your body which is aching. And that mindfulness should notice the feeling change. The pain get less, the irritation just get less. Until you've relaxed that part of your body as much as possible. And there may be another part which is now the most prominent feeling. Maybe it can be relieved by coughing or by moving, by adjusting. Throughout this meditation, if you need to move and adjust your posture, please do so. This is not some military camp run by North Korea. You're allowed to move. and keep your awareness on your body, being kind. We live in our body for so many years, but we rarely pay any attention to it. If there's a very, very big knot of pain in the body which you cannot just loosen off with kindness, you can imagine a little box, and the box is just big enough to fit the pain in. So as if you're putting that pain inside your body in this box. Inside is the pain, outside, no pain. And imagine that box expanding, getting bigger and bigger, thereby expanding the pain, not spreading it through your body as much as diluting it, making it thinner as it expands and expands and expands until the box is bigger than your body, diluting the pain like water turning into mist, and the mist becoming so thin you can't even see it anymore, as the box becomes bigger than this hall, bigger than the suburb, bigger than Perth, bigger than the earth, as you expand the knot of pain away, expanding, loosening. These are all terms for letting go, for relaxing, for easing. Not pushing, not pulling, not squashing. Expanding and loosening. And as your body relaxes, keep your mindfulness, your awareness on the body. And just notice the delight. There's a special feeling of delight of a relaxed body. For those of you who do go to spas or just go for a swim by the beach or in the pool, and then you sit down afterwards, you feel this special delight in your body of having relieved so much tightness and tension, being relaxed, at peace, at ease. The delight of a relaxed body. Please notice it if you can. The body still not moving, relaxing, and you noticing just how good that feels. Now, having relaxed your body, sometimes you need to go longer, sometimes shorter. Having relaxed your body, now let the body disappear and focus on your mental world, this world of worries and guilts and anger and fears. Those are like the aches and pains in the body, the tight points, the sick points, the sore points. Now we're going to relax all of that. We use the same method, mindfulness and kindness, on your mental world. If there's something you're worried about, which makes you think of the future, what is it you're worried about? What is the cause of sending the mind off into the future? Be aware of that and relax it. Be kind. And be kind to your mind. It deserves some peace. It's been working too much, worrying far more than it needs to, and lingering in a past which cannot be changed. You're not perfect, other people are not perfect. These things happen. Let them go. You can't mend the past, you can only leave it behind. And come into this beautiful place, this garden of the present. Not a place of business, Not a place where you have to struggle and strive. Not a place where you have to worry about being accepted. The garden of now is your home, your birthright, the place you relax. No right, no wrong, just being here in the garden of now. And be kind to this place. Sometimes in your own garden, you're always critical about things which need to be pruned and laws which need to be mowed and things which need to be watered. Don't try and improve this garden. Call now. Open the door of your heart to it and accept it for what it is. Natural, beautiful. You find peace in this moment by making peace with it. You hear the sound of the wind. Hear the sound of the birds, the traffic in the background. Nothing to plan, nothing to get, and no history from the past is allowed into this garden. It's a refuge, a place of peace, a holy place. Like leaving your shoes outside the Buddhist temple before you come in. Your left shoe represents the past. The right shoe represents the future. Leave both outside. We don't know where you come from. We're not going to follow where you go to. We're only going to be kind to you when you're here. Be kind to this moment. And open up the door of your heart to now. Relax. You can imagine your mind like a box expanding to let more of the now in. Sometimes there's so much of the past, so much of the future, there's no space for now. We push the past away. We push the future away. There's huge space of presence. Just being here. A garden without fences, without limits. See if you can notice the delight of just being here. Nowhere to go, nothing to achieve, no mistakes, just being home in the now. With everything accepted and loved, you want to cough, you're allowed to cough. And relax into this moment. And notice the delight of a mind resting. Not trying to achieve anything or get anything. Not going anywhere. Just being here. Just being. What does it feel like in this moment? Can you notice the delight? The delight of the present. The more you can notice that delight, the delight of contentment, the less you need to think. You just are, without trying to explain it. In the present moment, you don't have to explain anything. You just be quiet, still. If you're happy here, stay. If your mind is not settled down yet, see if you can focus on your breathing. Just notice this air come and bring you life into your body. As you breathe in, as you breathe out, taking all the toxins, carbon dioxide, all the used stuff, like the garbage taking out. As you breathe in, just think, breathing in peace, life, energy, breathing in love. As you breathing out, let go, breathing in peace, breathe out, let go. Sitting in the garden of the present, just breathing in peace, breathing out, let go. I'm now going to be quiet until the end of the meditation. It's now getting close to the end of the meditation. How relaxed are you? Can you still feel that delight of a relaxed body? Has that transferred into a peaceful mind? A mind which is being here, not having to struggle anymore. With nothing pushing or pulling or squashing your mind. Just free to be. I'm now going to ring the gong 3 times. Please keep your eyes closed. Just listen to the sound of the gong and let the 3rd ringing very gently bring you out from your meditation at the end of the 3rd ringing of the gong. Very good. So the end of the meditation is a time to ask any questions. There's also, you may know that this class is streamed live to many parts of the world. People listen in for their weekly advice on meditation. So we have some questions from overseas. But first of all, any questions from here? Okay, let's start with the overseas questions then. Like this side. Very good. Okay, so today we have a question, one question from Hawaii, and the other one is from Indonesia. From Hawaii, I would like to know, is there a specific way in doing something called jhag anusati? Do I just let memories of my generosity come, or should I dig for them? This is one of the types of meditation which is encouraged at the very beginning of one's meditation. When you start meditating, if you're meditating by yourself, sometimes you feel tired, sometimes your mind might feel dull. So this is one of those reflections where we use thought directed in one area only to allow us inspirational energy. And one of those ways is to deliberately recall all the acts of kindness, generosity, all the acts of letting go which you've done in your life. And don't mean just generosity through money, I mean generosity of spending time with someone who needed your help. Even though you had to sort of be late for an appointment or you had to suffer some other misfortune, but you decided to spend time with someone. You gave your time, you gave your energy to somebody else or to some cause. That's called jhaga, this giving, letting go. It's an act of selflessness, very beautiful, if not your own and other people's act of kindness and generosity, which you do see in this world. I remember just some years ago that there was a young boy in Perth, and he went to school in his new BMX bike he had for Christmas, and when he came back home he didn't have a bike. And his mum asked him, what happened to your bike? Was it stolen? No, he said, I gave it away in return for this rabbit. because he saw two bigger kids were torturing this rabbit on the way home. And he told the bigger kids to stop, but they wouldn't. And of course he was too small to fight them. So this little kid, maybe like 11, 12 years of age, he said, if you give me that rabbit, I'll give you my bike. And of course it was an exchange that the bigger kids could not refuse. So he gave him his BMX little bike and took the rabbit back home. And his mother, when she found out, the word got around, it was in the front page of the West Australian the next day. And there was also a follow-up story the day afterwards. Three BMX bikes had been donated to that boy because of his kindness. And he said, this tiny little rabbit had been being harmed and hurt, and he said, stop it, and he had to stop it, even though it cost him his bike, you know, for a tiny little rabbit. But he did that. It was an act of kindness, a generosity of giving to try and save this poor little rabbit's life. And the result of that, when people heard, it's inspiring. They, you know, just people contacted the newspaper, got the kid's address, and sent him a BMX bike. Three. We start off with one. And that's the sort of thing I love. It really inspires me. The beautiful things which happen in this world. It's nice to see them on the front page of the newspaper rather than politics or sport or something. Something which is really inspiring. Now, when you start thinking like that at the beginning of meditation, it inspires you, uplifts you, which means that you start in a very positive way when you meditate. And it's very easy to get peaceful and still. When you're happy to be here. So there's no specific way in doing this reflection on giving and generosity and letting go. But it's just, you know, you make a little picture for yourself, even like a dialogue, because it is still thinking, but it's focused. Yeah, maybe on the past, but it's on a particular part of the past which you are using specifically for inspiration and energy. And once you are inspired and energized, you let go of the reflection of this beautiful act of generosity you have seen or you know, you've done yourself. You let that go, and then you go back to being in the present moment. And it's nice being here. You're inspired, energized. It's great to be here. Or you go just watching your breath, and it's just so nice to have a breath when you start from inspiration. So there's quite a few little inspirations. That's one of them. Now, the other one is, you know, the all the other virtuous things you've done, the beauty you've seen in this world, whatever inspires you, you reflect on at the very beginning. If you notice how many people always reflect on the faults, the problems they've had last week, the problems they've got to face afterwards, their sickness, the problems they have in their family, the arguments, and sometimes you do need to balance that, deliberately balance it, by just focusing intentionally on some beautiful aspects of life. And you do that, you get energy, you don't get depressed, you get inspired rather than and you can meditate very well. So you can do your own generous acts, or you should get other people's generous acts, either work, and dig for them. Hopefully you don't have to dig too deep, because most people are just really kind, generous people. You know, sometimes they take it for granted and they think, oh, that was nothing. It was something. Don't think, oh, that's just nothing. No, you helped somebody. You went out of the way to give them a lift back to where they're going to. Or, you know, they couldn't open their car and you helped them just call the RAC. Or whatever you do, small acts create huge results. So, now those are the things which you can do at the beginning of the meditation. Next question from Indonesia. I couldn't move my body when I meditated recently, even though I wanted to. How do I overcome fear in meditation? Because, you know, obviously, whoever wrote that from Indonesia, they can move their body now, so they're not still stuck and frozen in meditation. So it passes. That's one of the ways of overcoming fear. It's a very simple technique of remembering, this too will pass. It does. That's the old story of the emperor's ring. An emperor, a young guy, inherited the throne, and he didn't really know how to rule a country. He was too young and inexperienced. And whenever things went well in the kingdom, in the country, he'd always having parties and festivals and stuff, which meant he was celebrating so much he never did any work, which means the good times never lasted. And when things started going wrong in the country, economy going down and too much violence on the street, he got so depressed, he stayed in his room and sulked. So again, was doing no work. So the ministers, you can't tell the emperor what to do, otherwise you might end up like that Kim Jong-un's uncle I just read about in the paper, just executed. So you can't tell an emperor what to do. You've got to be more sneaky than that. So they presented the emperor with a new ring, a very beautiful gold ring, very simple except for the words inscribed on the outside, "This too will pass. Wear it on all occasions." And the emperor could watch that. When times were going well, "This too will pass." Which meant even though things were going well, he knew it will pass. So he kept on working, knowing that the good times are not natural. They come from hard work. And when things went bad, he remembered it will pass. So he didn't get so depressed, he kept on working. So if you get into any state of depression, elation, whatever happens in life, sickness, good health, please remember that very deep saying, "This too will pass," which means that it lasts much longer. All of you in relationships, sometimes you found the love of your life, you're so happy together. Remember, "This too will pass." And then it lasts much longer. It's not being negative. It's right. This is fragile, okay? You can't take it for granted. You know, you really got to work at this. And when things do pass, we had a wonderful time. We did our very best. And it will pass. So that's one of the first things. You meditate recently. You couldn't move your body. All that really means you get so still and so peaceful, you don't need to move your body. It passes quite naturally. All that is, when you get into a deeper state of meditation, the body gets so still, it starts to disappear, which means you can't move it. I like telling the story when I was about 21. It was very hard to find places to meditate in UK at that time. I went to this Zen monastery which had just opened up, and in this Zen monastery you had to sit facing the wall with your eyes open, just staring at this blank wall. And because I was a young guy, willing to do anything, just, you know, see what happens, you're always adventurous and courageous when you're young, so I decided to just follow the instructions, look at this wall, you know, for about 10 or 15 minutes. And it wasn't boring at all, because suddenly the wall vanished. It just wasn't there anymore. And that was weird. But, you know, this was, you know, UK 70s. We liked weird stuff in those days. And it wasn't any drugs or anything. It was just weird. There was a wall around it, and now you couldn't see it anymore. And it didn't really take me long to figure out why. Because all of your senses only notice change. If there's a sound in the background which doesn't change, you can't notice it anymore. Same as the temperature in this room, after a while, if it doesn't change, you know, you don't notice it anymore. Things which don't change just fall off the radar. The brain is only wired to notice changing things. So because I was just watching this wall, it wasn't changing for about 10 or 15 minutes, the sense of sight just turned off. There was nothing to do. Now notice, it's exactly the same. You have that experience whenever you meditate, you close your eyes. If you really are aware, you notice the inside of your eyelids when you first close your eyes. And then after a little while, because it doesn't change, the sight turns off. You don't see anything. It's not you're seeing blankness or you're seeing black. You're not seeing at all. Sense of sight gets turned off. And that's what they were doing by staring at a white wall. They just disappears. And because you are sitting still, you're not moving the body, you've got to be comfortable first of all. It doesn't work if you've got aches and pains. If you're comfortable, you're sitting perfectly still. After a while, you can't feel your body anymore. It's not you've gone to sleep. You know, you're perfectly aware of, say, something like the breath, but you can't feel your legs, you can't feel your hands, your head, all that stuff is all gone. So that's what a fellow in Indonesia experiences, the body vanishing for a short while. It turns on again. You don't have to do it. It's totally automatic. The same process when you go to sleep. During sleep, do you suddenly notice, I decide, okay, I'm now going to wake up. You don't have to wake up. It just happens naturally. Or your alarm wakes you up, or something wakes you up. But a lot of times, it's just a natural waking up. And it's the same when the body disappears, it comes back again quite naturally. So just remember, it passes, it's natural. And it's beautiful when your body vanishes for a little while. All my little stories as a young monk, we used to meditate in, when we first started this monastery in the northeast of Thailand, our teacher would make us meditate for 2 hours in the evening, between about 6 and 8 o'clock in the evening, in the jungle. That was the time the mosquitoes came out for dinner. And not just one, hundreds of them. And they didn't attack the Thai monks, they attacked the Westerners. You know why? Because they never had Western food before. This was a new cuisine in the jungles of northeast Thailand. And all the mosquitoes were going around telling their mates, hey guys, Western food in this forest. And you think it's okay for you, but look at me. You know, you've got bare shoulder, no hair on your head. It's like there's more seats in the restaurant for a monk than there is on you guys. And genetically, in all these Asian countries like Sri Lanka or Burma or Thailand, Cambodia, those mosquitoes have got genetically inbred sort of knowledge. If you see someone in a brown robe, you're a safe lunch dinner because we're not allowed to swat you. So of course they get attracted to monks, Western monks, and all these mosquitoes over you. And it's so irritating. They're just getting bit by one mosquito and you can't squash them, okay? So you know what you do, first of all you try and flick them off without harming them. And of course all they do is just they go and land somewhere else. So you get two bites for one. So all you've got to do is sit there. You got a choice, endure them, which is almost impossible, or just let your body vanish. Meditate until you can't feel your arms or your head or your legs anymore. And that was brilliant to do that. So, you know, you just, mosquitoes, you can do whatever you want. You know, you're just letting the whole body vanish. And that's what we used to do. And that's the only way you could, at least the one way I used to endure sort of all those mosquitoes. And a weird thing happened. That I thought this was one of the psychic powers of meditation. But before, you know, you'd, being a Westerner, if you got bitten by a mosquito, you'd get a little bump coming up your skin afterwards, a little welt. But when after I came out from a couple of hours of meditation in the jungles, there was no mosquito bites, no welts on me at all. I thought, this is amazing. Mosquitoes haven't been biting me. This is the power of meditation. For years I thought that until someone sent me a little article about mosquitoes, that mosquitoes are attracted to the carbon dioxide coming out of your pores. That is actually what tells them you're there. So it's interesting, the more you worry about them, the more anxious you are of getting bitten by a mosquito, the higher metabolism, the more carbon dioxide is coming out, which means the more you're actually telling the mosquitoes what they hear, hey, I'm over here. If you really relax, you're not anxious at all, your metabolism goes down, you don't emit so much carbon dioxide, and if you really become very still in meditation, your metabolism goes way down, so you're hardly emitting anything at all. And that was the reason, basically, when you got very still, the mosquitoes didn't know you were there. You'd vanished. And that was the reason why you never got any bumps, no bites. It's interesting, the more you worry about being bitten, the more bites you get. The more relaxed you are, the less. It's just, it's not something magical, it's just basic science. So that's actually what happens when things disappear. Oh, it's so nice. So, when those things happen in Indonesia, well done, carry on. No need to be afraid, it's wonderful when your body vanishes. Have a bit of peace for a while. It's no different than sleep. If you go to sleep, you're not really conscious. But in meditation, you're fully aware, fully conscious, more awake than usual. That's the difference. So, well done in Indonesia. Any questions or comments from here? Yes.
We should relax our body to get the most benefit, which makes a lot of sense. However, those that are experts in meditating, you'll never see them in a chair. They're always seated, as you are. So I'm wondering why that is.
Only it's only because of me, because in those days we didn't have any chairs. No, for 7 years in Thailand I never saw a chair. So the first chair I saw was when I went from Thailand to go and visit my family in UK. And that was excruciating. For 16 hours I had to sit on a chair. I could sit on the ground for hours without any pain, but sitting on a chair for about 10 or 15 minutes I was in agony. It's just what you get used to, that's all. So, you know, you get used to being in a chair, and you're comfortable. For me, you know, even if you, you know, you've seen me when you go in the car, going back, I try and cross my legs when you're on the seat of the car. Even, you know, in the aircraft, you try as soon as you can to cross your legs on the seat, because this is most comfortable. It's just what I've got used to, that's all. It's nothing magical, it's just, you know, the way I grew up, sitting on the floor. You know, in Thailand, that's where I learned. So, you're not in Thailand. You've learned to sit on a chair. That's most comfortable for you. So, please sit on a chair. And sometimes people say, oh, you can only get enlightened if you sit on the floor. That is not true. Even the Buddha sat on a chair. I saw there's a carving, an ancient carving of the Buddha sitting on a chair. So, even the boss sat on a chair. So, you can. It's okay. No trouble at all. It's just, and even some monks sit on a chair. Ajahn Sujata, you know, he comes and gives talks over here. He sits on a chair because, I think, I forget what he did in his youth, probably motorbike accident or playing sport, you know, just he can't really sit down on the ground. When I played sport, I was always compassionate and kind. So, you know, if I never went into these weird tackles which other people do, putting your life on the line. I can understand that. What are you doing that for? Somebody else wants to score a goal, let them. Be kind. I'm not going to sort of ruin my body and my health for that. So because of that, you just, you know, I never had many injuries when I was young. So that's why I can sit on the floor, you know, but some monks can't. So next time Ajahn Sujata's here, you'll see him sitting on a chair. Thanks for that question. But the only important part of your posture, I don't care if you sit on a chair, you sit on the ground, you lay down, I don't care what you do, I don't care where you put your legs or where you put your hands, how the back is the most important part of your posture. The only one which is really important is the position of your mouth. Smile for goodness sake when you're meditating. And that's no joke, it really helps. If you grit your teeth, you're never going to get anywhere in meditation. But if you smile, just a small smile. Straight away you get the right attitude, which creates very beautiful meditation. So you can sit on a chair if you like, you can sit on the ground, but please make a happy face. If you can't make a smile, fake one. I don't care, it works. And for all of you who find it difficult to smile, if you want a New Year's resolution, you find it difficult to be happy and smile, I invite you all to do 20 push-ups every morning. 20 push-ups every morning. Stand in front of the mirror, get your two fingers out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exercise those muscles so you can smile easily. Okay, enough silliness. Let's now pay respects, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and then we can actually go and do whatever we need to do.